From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of April 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain markets with Bruce Foster, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, South Korea has withdrawn the FTA with the United States. Brazil is thinking about making it easier for land in that nation to be bought and sold by foreign owners. And the WTO, after a decade of trying, still thinks it can get free trade talks passed. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll tell you about $4 corn, $5.50 wheat, and $10 soybeans. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Of course, it's a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. Nearby May wheat at $7.69 and a quarter, settlement price up 26 and a quarter for the day. July at $8.25 and a quarter, up 23 and 3 quarters, and December wheat at $8.88, up 23 and a half. May corn at $7.54, 31 cents higher in Chicago. July at $7.56 and a half, up 27 and a quarter. September at $7.16, 31 and 3 quarters higher. December at $6.69 and a half, up 32. And the March corn futures for next year at $6.80, up 31 and a half. May soybeans, $13.92 and 3 quarters of a cent, up 42 and a half cents today. July at $13.94, up 40 and a half. The August at $13.91 and a quarter, up 39 and a half. And November beans, $13.74 and a quarter. The new crop finished 36 and a half cents higher. May bean meal at $3.58.10, up $9.40. May bean oil at $58.13, up $1.70. Live cattle futures finished the nearby April at $1.17 and a nickel, a dime lower. June futures were up 17 and a half cents at $113.35. The May feeder cattle at $131.90, up 52 and a half cents. August on outward lower for the day, $135.95. The settlement price for the August down 17 and a half. And the May lean hogs per 100 pounds at $95.27 and a half, finished down $1.52 and a half. The June there at $95.22 and a half, we're down $1.27 and a half. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $113.69 a barrel, up 82 cents. Ethanol at $2.64 and 9 cents, 8 and 6 tenths higher. Natural gas at $4.68 and 9 cents, up 11 and 8 tenths of a cent. And the diesel fuel or heating oil at $3.25 and 5 tenths of a cent, up 2 and 4 tenths of a cent. Gold futures finished at $1,556 even, 25 and 20 cents of a dollar. That's $25.20 higher for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,820, just about 57 points higher on the afternoon now. And the U.S. dollar at 72.93 is down 0.18. The CRB index at 370.56 is up 4.2 for the afternoon. The weather forecast says the skies will remain sunny here in Urbana-Champaign for the day, 66 degrees, winds at 3 to 5 miles an hour out of the west. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low 49, southeast winds at 6 to 10. On Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 75 degrees, breezy, a few thunderstorms, increasing clouds by the time we get to Saturday evening, a low of 49. They'll have gusty winds at 11 to 21. And then Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 60 degrees. Sunday night, 40% chance of showers. Monday, partly sunny, a high near 61. Partly cloudy and a low of 39 on Monday night, mostly sunny. On Tuesday, a high near 61. Wednesday, mostly sunny, a 65-degree day. And Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, a high near 65 degrees. Here's a quick look at the Illinois cost of production record. Anhydrous over the last couple of weeks is up about 59 cents, finished at an average across the state of $797.94 a ton. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us for a Friday afternoon is Mike Zuzolo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was a big day in Chicago, a real turnaround day for the day, I suppose, and even for the week, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. The July corn is going to be up about 12, the D's up about 4, so the spread worked real nicely there for the week as a whole. Same with the beans. We're going to be up about 4.25 in July, down about 8.25 in the November, spread working well there. Wheat was the biggest disappointment from my standpoint because we closed over $8 in July. That was psychologically important. We stayed above the 200-day moving average on the July chart as well on the close. That was psychologically important, but we were still down over 33 cents for the week and below the 50-day moving average, which is a good 20 to 25 cents above our Friday close. So given the weekly export sales and given the weather around the world and in the United States, I would hope the wheat would start to do a little bit better next week.
Well, given all of that, there's still an awfully large supply of wheat, most think, that's coming on in the marketplace. Will it remain under pressure despite the fact that corn and soybeans have rallied?
You have a huge point to be made there when it comes to the feed wheat that we're talking about here now. The European Union, the ag attaché just came out with a European Union forecast, and he said that he expects that even though we're at historically record low ending stocks in the world and in the European Union last year, that we don't look very likely to build those European Union ending stocks this year by very much because the export pace is so, so strong. India and other countries are also looking at a big, big increase in exports, and that they're even rivaling export major exporters kind of like Argentina. So we have a lot of feed wheat marketing going into the marketing channels. I wonder if the quality wheat may continue to hold a very big premium because I think that's probably where we don't have a lot of you know good supplies based upon some of the cash contacts I've talked to.
Turn your attention to the corn market where while we only ended up 4 cents higher in the December contract, May corn was up 16.75, those both on the weekly trade, as you mentioned earlier. That seemed to be a pretty good-sized number for this week and technically a good picture.
Yeah, it really was, and I think today was a huge day from a standpoint of momentum and kind of stopping the bearish enthusiasm from building because I think we kind of came to a mindset after Monday's trade when we went sharply higher but on lower open interest. Technicals didn't follow through to the upside. We lost momentum by midweek. I think a lot of people in the trade were starting to think that corn was getting ready to roll over. It didn't have the support of the outside markets, though. Thursday's break was fund-induced, but it seemed like it was just one or two or three big funds repositioning themselves or getting ready to position themselves a couple different times in the next 10 days. Plus, the weather bears came out, and I think that's probably what really turned the tide in the beginning part of the day, is the short covering came in on the corn when the weather models and the National Weather Service forecast both suggested a continuation of more cooler and wetter forecast, wetter for the east, cooler for the west. But then midday, we saw new record highs in gold. We saw a new 34-year high in coffee at the ICE Exchange, and we saw limit-up rice. And then we also saw the crude oil go after its major high from about a month ago or three, four weeks ago. I think all those kind of contributed to the idea that end-of-month fund buying, commodity-wide fund buying, was kind of superseding what had happened yesterday. So corn really did end the week in a very healthy psychological position. Now it's kind of up to Monday's crop progress report to get us to that next level, I think.
Wait, let me double-check something with you. So yesterday you're saying it was liquidation by the funds, and then today it was end-of-the-month fund buying. Is that right?
Yeah, and this is what the rumor mill was talking about. It's almost laughable, but the rumor mill was circulating today, and I had checked this out with two different sources, so I feel comfortable talking about it, Todd, but I had heard that there were a couple funds, maybe two in London, that were actually getting out because of the four-day holiday with the wedding and May Day on Monday, and they were looking to reposition when they came back from their holiday. But that's how kind of weak-minded the liquidation yesterday, I think, was. And I think it was also weak-minded from a standpoint of the weather. We had just gotten off this horrendous rain, and the trade was already talking about the ability of Iowa to get started planting, even though everybody in Chicago was talking about how cool it's been, too. So it just seemed like the reasoning or the logic for shorting, especially when the outside markets were making new highs after the Federal Reserve got done talking this week, it just seemed like the reasoning for shorting wasn't there, that this was not the beginning of a trend. But like I said, it was a good day psychologically today. I'd really like to see the wheat Monday turn on really hard and then also see the crop planting progress for corn keep the bullish enthusiasm going.
I got to tell you, Mike, I haven't heard anything like that for a while. I mean,
I know it's hard to talk about, but I heard it from a really good newswire source and also a good contact in Chicago.
No, not that, but I haven't heard since the open outcry sort of disappeared about the kind of vitriol, mean-spirited kind of way things can happen in Chicago. So if they don't like you, they'll let you liquidate. And they took them for, what, 40 cents over 2 days? I mean, it was 20 yesterday and 20 today.
And it's like Dave and I talked about. You were threatening some pretty key weekly chart support levels in the agricultural indexes like the Dow Jones UBS and the S&P Goldman Sachs agriculture indexes. All those weekly charts were starting to look like they were wanting to roll over. So today was a big day from a psychological standpoint.
Right. All right. So where do we go from here, you think?
Well, I think the key right now, Todd, will be what we do between now and May 10th. Because when I went to Chicago this week and had a couple meetings, what I took away from my meetings was the Chicago mindset is still 93 million acres and a 162, 164 yield. I don't think you can get both of those based upon what I'm seeing from agronomists and from what I'm getting from seed clients and from what I'm getting from clients in Kentucky, Tennessee, and on down south in the Delta. I think the early corn and the early bean crops are really in jeopardy at this point in terms of both acreage and yield. So what I'm wanting to see next week is not only wheat come in to its own and see some real true short covering, but I'd like to see that psychology shift in the corn and beans as well.
Is that, and I have not checked with Emerson Nafziger here on campus or Bob Nielsen over at Purdue or anybody else. I'm wondering if that drop you're talking about in average yield nationally is part and parcel of hybrids being bred so that they can be planted earlier, but they also begin to fold off in bushels earlier in the season, too, once they're not planted as in that early stage. Because it used to be it was, you know, after the 15th or 16th you lost a bushel a day. But I think it's earlier than that now in May.
Yeah, I think it's after the 10th or 12th that we're looking at least three-quarters of a bushel a day. I think that from what I've seen on the agronomy side, and the U of I would be included, and Professor Nafziger, I think, had something out this week as
he
well.
Does.
And I think that I think most of them are pretty much saying don't switch yet because you're going to lose a lot more by going to an earlier variety than you would not gain if you stayed with the regular variety. Don't give up on the longer variety yet. But I think that window, again, it goes back to between now and May 10. You know, what are we going to have to say to those producers if we can't get in the fields? And I heard from a contact near Springfield that there was a lot of corn north of Springfield that was planted two and a half weeks ago. A lot of it has not come out of the ground yet because of what type of weather we've had. So I think the trade needs to start to digest this a little bit more, maybe keep the extra risk premium in until we get to the next USDA report. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzalo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the South Korean cabinet has withdrawn the pending free trade agreement between South Korea and the United States from consideration for ratification because the document contained significant translation errors. This is the third time this year that Seoul has found mistakes in the Korean text of such a pact after an FTA between South Korea and the European Union has twice been put on hold due to errors. This latest snafu is expected to stall South Korea's approval of the pact for several months. Brazil may ease the current ban on land purchases by foreigners, allowing investments in large productive projects, but blocking acquisitions by sovereign funds, foreign state-owned companies, and land speculators. The government is discussing two proposals internally. The European Union presented world trade negotiators today with a last-minute plan to rescue stalled free trade talks, saying there were still avenues of negotiation to explore after 10 years of trying. In a presentation to a key meeting of World Trade Organization member countries, the plan aims to find some middle ground between the United States and major emerging economies, especially China, on the key sticking point of the discussions, tariffs on industrial goods. The Army Corps of Engineers halted its preparations for intentionally breaking a Mississippi River levee yesterday as lawyers for the state of Missouri urged a judge to block the possible demolition out of fear it would carry disastrous financial implications and environmental hazards. Missouri officials argued at a federal courthouse that intentionally breaking the Bird's Point levee would send a rush of water over a huge chunk of valuable farmland, flooding 90 homes, displacing 200 people, and sweeping up fertilizer and other chemicals in Mississippi County. The Corps is considering the break as a way to ease water rising around the upstream town of Cairo, Illinois. In a new lawsuit, three sugar distributors, including Western Sugar Cooperation, say that equating high-fructose corn syrup with real sugar, with slogans like, "Your body can't tell the difference," misleads consumers. They accuse defendants, including Archer Daniels Midland Company and Cargill, of using the publicity campaign to offset growing customer concerns about obesity. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear on our website at willag.org. Our guest on this week's edition of Commodity Week, Tom Baez of Growth Energy. We'll talk about ethanol in the second half of the program. It'll be posted to our website by about 6 o'clock this evening. That's Commodity Week, our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, most people that have watched the commodity markets will tell you today a new higher plateau price has been reached. It's also pretty likely they'll think that plateau is much higher than the four-year stats suggest. I'll have more on the big question of the new long-term average cash price for a bushel of corn.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hey, take a guess right now at what you think the monthly average Central Illinois cash price for corn has been over the last 4 years. About 3 years ago, Illinois ag economists Daryl Good and Scott Irwin thought, like most everyone else, a new price plateau was in the works. So they made some projections, says Irwin.
Well, the evidence convinced us that at that time that we were at in the early stages of a new and higher plateau for the nominal prices of corn, soybeans, and wheat. And when I say nominal, I mean we weren't adjusting for inflation because we were looking at really long-term trends in prices.
Irwin and Good concluded the price spike in commodities like corn, soybeans, and wheat mirrored what happened in the 1970s and not the spike of the 1990s. In the 70s, commodities doubled in price and stayed that way. In the 90s, they just spiked and then faded. Well, the two projected then that the new average Central Illinois cash price of corn would be about $4.60 a bushel.
And we think that our projections held up pretty well. I'm looking at the numbers here. We had projected back in 2008 that the average price of corn in the new era would be $4.60. And it turns out that late 2006, the price of corn has averaged $3.99 a bushel. So we were obviously a bit too high. We were using really simple projection methods, but we clearly got us in the ballpark. And so we don't see anything in the most recent data that lead us to change our original conclusions.
That there is a new plateau, but Irwin is sticking with the stats that say the average cash price is $3.99 a bushel for corn.
Because the comparison is for roughly 30 years, the average price of corn here in Illinois was about $2.40 a bushel. And looking forward, we think $4 now would be a pretty good benchmark for the long-run average price of corn here in Illinois.
It is a price supported by nearly 4 years of monthly data and one that would take a really long time to change. Not that there won't be wide swings around that $3.99 mark, thinks Illinois' Scott Irwin.
Enormous price volatility, as we predicted back then, that corn prices we predicted to be in a range from $3 a bushel to $6.70. And that's turned out to be pretty accurate. And I don't see a reason why that's going to change going forward.
In round numbers, here are the average cash prices that volatility will swing around. For corn, $4. Soybean, $10. And wheat, $5.50 in central Illinois. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. I didn't do a very good job with my discussion with Mike Zuzulo, talking about hybrids and how quickly they fell off. I knew that I had seen that in print somewhere, so I pulled it up on the April 22nd edition of the Bulletin from the University of Illinois Extension. You can find it at bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu, written by Emerson Nafziger. Here's the way it's worded. It says, in central and northern Illinois, we found that yields dropped by about 0.6 tenths of a bushel per day as planting was delayed from the 23rd of April to the 12th of May, and by about 8 tenths of a bushel per day from May 12 to May 29. Previous work had indicated a little less loss in this earlier period and a little more loss in the later period. That's what I was trying to reference and didn't do a very good job of it, so I thought I'd read it directly to you. It's in the April 22nd edition, not this Thursday, but last Thursday edition of the Bulletin, online at bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu. On the phone with us today is Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there.
How's are people anxious now in your area?
Very. You know, we've been moderated some just because it's been so cool out that it's like, boy, you know, I'd like to be in the field planting, but I'm probably glad that there's nothing in the dirt right now. So that's moderated the concern some, I think, but they're ready to go.
And we don't have a lot of time, so basis and your bids for the day.
Switched over to the July today, saw some improvement. Rail numbers are decent. River, massive navigation problems. We're at 743 on nearby corn and 1383 on beans.
Now, the navigation problems on the river are forcing a wider basis then, right?
It's forcing a wider basis on the river, and it will theoretically shove some improvement to the rail numbers.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg.
It's National Shrimp Scampi Day. Shrimp were well known by the ancient Romans and Greeks, but shrimp scampi, as known in America, did not become popular until after World War II, when a number of Italian dishes went mainstream, often appearing as a staple on cafe and restaurant menus. One of the most popular dishes consisted of large prawn tails coated in breadcrumbs and deep fried. Incidentally, scampi is not one set recipe, but a generic name applied to several dishes composed of shrimp. On this day in agricultural history in 1768, George Brandt died. A Swedish chemist, he discovered the element cobalt in 1730. Cobalt is used in steelmaking and is an essential part of vitamin B12. In 1856, a shipment of 33 camels arrived at the Texas port of Indianola. They had been purchased on the North African coast for the U.S. Army to use in the deserts of the Southwest. In 1873, the first U.S. patent for a railroad coupler was issued to E.H. Janney of Alexandria, Virginia. And in 1998, Brazil, in light of increased soybean acres, agreed to set aside about 62 million acres of the Amazon rainforest for conservation. The cost of the project was estimated as much as $156 million. And that's this day in agricultural history.
It's Friday. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. Steve Hilberg from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center and funded in part by NOAA now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me it's going to be sunny at least for part of the weekend.
Oh, yeah, it will be.
Great.
If you can, especially if you consider Friday part of the weekend. This is one of the nicest days I think we've seen in a long, long time. But most of tomorrow should be pretty nice, too. I really don't think we'll see anything. We'll see some clouds increasing during the day, but I don't think we'll see much in the way of any rain here until later afternoon. And then we're going to have a couple days to deal with. And then I think, well, it looks like we may get into a fairly dry period for most of next week. The only exception to that might be far southern Illinois, which could hold on to some rain off and on through maybe Wednesday.
Oh, nice. So how heavy a rainfall over that 24-hour period in that Saturday-Sunday time
frame? Some areas could see a half inch to an inch, depending on thunderstorms. It'll be a thunderstorm-type activity. Nothing quite like this week, where we had large areas of heavy rain, but individual thunderstorms could drop some more. But everything over the southern half of the state is pretty well saturated to this point. We've had over 20 inches of rain in far southern Illinois. One of our Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network observers reported over 20 inches of rain so far in April in Union County, and we're seeing other amounts like that. So they don't need any more rain at all. The one good place in the state is probably sort of northwestern Illinois, which precipitation has been sort of near normal, and soil moisture is in pretty good shape there, too.
All right. And then as a whole, state of Illinois for the month of April will roll out as how?
Oh, very wet. In fact, this will very well could go down as the wettest April on record. And in terms of temperatures, pretty much a split. If you take south of I-72, temperatures were about have been running about 1 to 3 degrees above normal. And then north of I-72, normal to maybe 2 degrees below normal. So that's sort of how our weather pattern is shaped up through the month, too.
One of the things that has been making its way through the commodity trade is soil temperatures. And I think in Iowa they're talking about 48. I don't know whether I think too much about it.
But, yeah.
but what do you say? What are soil temperatures
well,
like?
Well, we measure them here in Illinois. We have 19 stations around the state. The Water Survey runs that measure soil temperature. And in northwestern Illinois, as of yesterday morning, I didn't look this morning, soil temperatures were in the mid-40s to low 50s. So that, if you extend that back into Iowa, that's probably much the case with Iowa. Good part with Iowa is they haven't had all the rain that everybody else has. So if the soils all warm up, then they should be in good shape to go. So, but yeah, we do measure soil temperatures, and they're still a little iffy in northwestern Illinois as well.
All right, and then take me back through next week. Tell me what each day is going to look like. Farmers will want to know.
Yes, they will. Well, the first part of the week is going to be a little wet, probably Sunday into early Monday, midday Monday. And then most of Illinois, the northern two-thirds, northern three-quarters, should be fairly dry Tuesday until maybe Thursday or Friday when we could get a few scattered showers in here. Rain should probably hang in along the Ohio River Valley, unfortunately, maybe till about Wednesday off and on. And so things will stay wet down there.
Thank you so much.
All right, Don.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Belongs in part, funded in part, by NOAA. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.